Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Lawrence J. King in the house at Book Talk Radio. And today it is a privilege and honor to have with us Frank Palaber from British Columbia. He is considered to be one of Canada's finest published authors. He's a natural storyteller whose compelling thoughts are freed from the depths of the heart and the subconscious before being poured onto the page. He's rated right up there with Stephen King, and this man's got it going on in many ways. So without further ado, let's bring him on our show and get this party started. How you doing today, Frank? Welcome to Book Talk Radio.
I'm good. Nice to be on your show, Larry. It's a pleasure on my part.
Absolutely. The feeling is mutual. So before we go there, British Columbia. Columbia, that's Canada. How's that like up there?
Yeah. Well, it was nice until 2 days ago when we got a foot of snow. we're on the West Coast, so I'm in Chilliwack, BC, which is just about an hour and a half out of Vancouver inland. I've lived here for the last 25 years or so. Before that, I lived in Alberta, which is the province next door, where all the oil fields and stuff are on the prairies, just so you know.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Is that far from the United States? Is that like in East Coast, West Coast, or?
Oh yeah, so Chilliwack is only probably only about 20 miles out of the U.S. border, of the northern border. There's a trail I take it's called the Chilliwack Lake Trail near me. And I can actually walk down that trail and go across the border if I wanted to. There's a little signpost up that says entering the United States. And other than me and a couple of deer and 1,000 trees, there's nobody else around.
Wow. We figured out how to get into America without a passport. Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. Nice. So, Frank, tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from. And, from start to finish, the current day, where you grew up, where you were born, parents, married, all that.
Got it. Well, my parents are actually Hungarian. They escaped during the revolution in 1956. My mom tells me stories of when they're getting shot going across the border to get out of there. They eventually made it to Canada when they got the rights to come somewhere. So I was born actually in Alberta in a small town called Beaver Lodge, Alberta, which is about, maybe 200 people beside the highway. Nothing to speak of, trust me. Lived most of my life in Edmonton and then moved out here. Actually came out here on a honeymoon almost 25 years ago. And Edmonton is like most of the northern United States, winter 10 months of the year virtually. And I came out here in October and there was green grass. And I thought, what, am I crazy? Why don't I move here? And I did. So I've lived the rest of my life in Chilliwack, British Columbia, and love touring around here because I love hiking and, seeing nature and stuff. And there's a lot of it here because there's, Canada's slightly bigger than the United States, but we've only got like 38 million people, which, I think the city of California's got more people than that.
Yeah. Getting crowded there, so I might want to meet you at the end of that trail and come to Canada.
You've got lots of room, buddy.
So, publishing history and writing credits and writing styles and genres, what made you decide on your choice?
Well, I'll tell you a story in a minute of what got me compelled to become a writer, but to date I have over 50 articles and short stories published in different magazines and stuff, and nearly 15 novels as well. One of my novels is called Adjoining, was set in Victoria, BC, which is right on Vancouver Island, right across from Vancouver, just above Seattle. That one finished top three finalists in the Canadian Book Club Awards in 2020 out of nearly 200 entries. Another one, my novel called The Lure, which is set here and set in Vancouver, actually. That actually finishes a top quarter finalist in 2018 in the Screencraft Cinematic Book Competition. It made top 36% of 106,000 project entries and the top 20% of all the manuscripts entered. probably my closest, one of my biggest achievements that didn't quite make it, but almost. And that's what I'll talk about. This set me on my goal to writing my novel called Raven's Lament, originally called Haida Wind Songs. That's set in northern BC. In 2000, under that, in the chapter's novels contest, and this is the first novel I ever put together, finished in the semifinals with 48 out of 50 points. And I also went. It also went to the last round of acceptance at Harper Press in 2004, and lost out to a nonfiction novel called The Golden Spruce by John Valiant, and you may have seen that. So that's based on a true incident that happened, and that's what compelled me to really put together my first book. It's based on a guy there was a true story that happened up in the Queen Charlotte's, what they call Haida Gwaii now. A guy in protest of logging cut down a very rare spruce tree. It's called the golden spruce, and it actually is a genetic anomaly. They've only found about six of these in the world. All the leaves are gold instead of green. And the First Nations believe that the leaves have turned gold and sorrel for prints trapped inside this tree. So when the tree's cut down, what happens in the book is the prince has been released because he's been trapped in this tree for like 200 years. But he also releases the reason he was trapped there in the first place, which is Raven, the big woo-woo creator god dude guy. So he wakes up, looks at the world the way it is now, and goes, man, this place sucks, because he's been in there for 200 years too. So a reporter comes to investigate the story, meets a native girl there, and they fall in love with each other. And the two of them, with her uncle Charlie, who's a shaman, a native shaman, end up battling Raven to stop him from changing the world back to the way it was.
Interesting. How do you rate your current life? You know, the latest news. You got any good news to share and things like that?
Yes. I've got a couple projects out there. My newest project actually is The Lure. I just put together a film pitch for it, and I'll tell it at the end. I'll say it again, but it's on my YouTube channel. Let's Be Frank, Canada's foremost Canadian author. Offbeat author, sorry. What a film pitch is basically like a video version of the synopsis of your book for film people. I have got two agencies interested, so I've submitted to them. One's a possible next Netflix scenario, and it's all set in Canada, so you know the appeal is quite well. It is probably the most visual book I've ever put together, and of all the books I've written, it's the one that I always thought that would make a movie, because you can see virtually every scene in the book in your head. And most people have read the book. Wow, I've been to those places you describe in your book, and I can see myself there and smell everything, and it's amazing how you put this book together. I also have two other ones I'm just in the middle of re-releasing, or one's re-releasing. I write in the genres mainly of paranormal thrillers, crime as well, mystery. I've done comedy, I've done erotica, and I've done romance. So I'm just re-releasing now a romance novel called Shuttered Seductions. That's going to be re-released under my pseudonym name, which would be Felicity Talisman. That's just your standard romance. I wrote that about 15 years ago now, and I'm just now also getting ready to submit to agencies to see who's interested another novel called Autumn Summer, and it's a couple people have read it, pre-readers have said, wow, that is the most amazing book I've ever read. One person said, I read it all, I was reading another book, I started reading yours just out of curiosity, couldn't put it down, and I had to finish yours, and I finished it in just over a day, because I couldn't, you drew me in, I could not put this book down. And the quick storyline basically is, a guy gets a diary from his wife, who's passed away, passed away, and in the diary, she tells him that she's been having an affair for the last 10 years, but it's not with a guy, it's with another woman. The woman ends up being a spiritualist that she falls in love with. He has no idea of any of this, and he's stunned. She, Autumn is the lady that his wife, she's adopted. And when she meets the spiritualist, they start taking her down this trek to find out, first of all, she tells her where her, finds out about her mother. But, and Autumn, her whole life, her kids have left home, so she feels abandoned, especially because she's adopted. Only And then she thinks that her mother must have dumped me because she didn't want me, but it's the exact opposite end of the story. Her mother got not dumped her, but gave up her adoption because she did not want to know about this curse that's haunted their family for generations. So that starts compelling her to her and Summer to deal with this. She finds out she's Scottish in her generational backgrounds and Celtic, and so that opens up this whole ball of issues that she had no idea about that her mother wanted to keep her from, and that's basically that story.
Wow. So when and why did you start writing and consider yourself a writer?
Well, I was actually in high school. I was always interested in writing, and I tried, in grade three, I got up one time and read a short story from our class like we had to do, and everybody started laughing, and not at me, but with me, and they thought it was the funniest things they've ever heard. And I thought, wow, I like that. I really like that. I like making people laugh, and I like, you know, having them enjoy my stuff. But then in grade 12, I took a creative writing course that I thought would be easy credits as, you know, bored of school and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, in the course, I always remember this, the opening day, the teacher comes along with this, here's your course material, and it's a notebook. And I remember opening it up, and I put my hand up. I says, yeah, but it's blank. There's nothing in here. He goes, yeah, your job's to fill it. I said, what? So what he was trying to establish is something called subconscious writing. And what that is that we would spend 20 minutes to half an hour every class just writing. No grammar, no punctuation, no nothing, just write. And, of course, the first few days, like most of us, I was just sitting there writing, well, the walls are still blue, and the blonde girl's sitting in front of me, and I wish I could ask her out, but I don't have the guts to do it. But before I knew it, what started kicking in, and this is what he was trying to establish, is by the end of that class, I would sit down, and in those 20 minutes, I would write anywhere from 2 to 10 pages, just start pouring stuff out. And then... You know, that made me realize that I am a writer. I can do this. And now if I get ideas for something, or I watch TV or virtually anything, all of a sudden this thing clicks in my head, and I'll just sit down and I can write whole short stories at a sitting. And I've done that many times, and seen some novels and sometimes outlines. It's bizarre. And I got what he was trying to establish, which is just letting go of your mind and just letting your sort of subconscious write.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm a 10-time published author myself, nonfiction genre. And my writing career began quite differently. I was actually in the Gray Bars Motel, and they started publishing my articles that I would write from prison. And I was like, wow, you're onto something here, bud. And lo and behold, my first book came to pass called What the Hell Were You Thinking? And catchy title, by the way. But at any rate... So what inspired you to write the first book?
Well, like I said, that was based on that true incident that happened. The interesting thing was I had just gone into Victoria for a holiday. And in Victoria, there's a provincial museum, if you haven't gone there. So downstairs, they have a whole area set aside for First Nations peoples. And it's kind of a dark room, but they have these giant totems. You may have seen some of these in some documentaries. So the Haida have these huge totem poles, and they brought up a bunch of them to kind of save them. And the Haida and some of the other First Nations along the BC coast. And I remember sitting in this dark room, and I just heard about... That incident about the cutting down the golden spruce tree, and it hasn't really twigged me on anything. But as I sat there and I'm staring at these totems, I swear I could hear voices talking to me, and then it just sort of came to me, and I just started writing things out. And on the way home, same thing. And one of my good friends, who was a First Nations guy or still is, he said to me, he says a lot of the First Nations, all their history is oral. There's virtually nothing written down. We have this whole language, all these histories, all these legends. So all these people have sort of passed away. They're looking for people they can connect to subconsciously somehow to tell their stories so they can replay all their legends that they've lost. And he said, because you have that sort of subconscious, they're reaching out to you. And I thought, oh, wow, fantastic. Because a lot of my novels – mainly because I'm in BC, but a lot of them involve First Nations legends and you know, things like that. I you know, it's I just find it fascinating because I do a lot of research, and in that research, sometimes I'll find a legend, like the legend of the lure. And if I got time, I'll quickly explain that one. So that's what I put the film pitch about. So the lure is said about a witch, the First Nations witch, had been transformed and trapped in a rock in Stanley Park, and she's been there for hundreds of years. And they did this because she's, you know, an evil witch, obviously. That book opens with basically Carol Ainsworth, who's our head detective. It's her first big case. She's on stakeout late at night. Vancouver's mayor and his wife and child are dead, and the wife and child are missing. And they have no clues as to what happened. But in the middle of the night, this shaman shows up. The guy's name is Charlie from the first book, Raven's Lament. And he says, "Well, lady, you know, clues are all there. You just got to know what you're looking for." And he virtually vanishes in front of her. Now, he's left clues that he knows exactly what he's talking about. So Carol's got to through half the book, try to figure out where this guy is and how in heaven do you track down a shaman in the first place. But it's tied into another oral legend that people have. They say, a lot of people say, I got a drinking last night, got good and drunk. I don't remember anything. Well, in a bar in Stanley Park, right next to it, if you get drunk enough, there's spirits are hanging around. Those spirits will take over your body and use it for whatever you want to use it for until you sober up. One is a Hell's Angels type guy that's come back for revenge against his members that offed him and his family. He inadvertently releases the witch, and then Charlie the shaman knows that she's not nice, and basically he's coming back to figure out some way of getting her back trapped into something, basically another rock, and that's that novel.
Well, wow, that's cool. That's crazy. When you write, Frank, how much of your real life or experiences of others do you pour into your novels?
Sometimes a lot. I just retired from running a 9-bay automotive shop. I'm a licensed automotive technician, and I was also the main service manager and service advisor up front. So I would talk to a lot of my customers, and a lot of them I'd get, I'd just ask them questions. And some of the stories that people would share with me, I have said many times, you can't write the stuff that some people have lived. It's not possible to put this kind of stuff into books. One of the people I talked to, he said that he told me this story. He says, because I did like ghosts in Victoria and stuff, it's set in one of my novels. But he told me this story. He says, so my wife, I found out, and this is in my newest novel, that autumn summer one that's coming out. She told me she didn't know she was adopted until virtually our wedding day when her parents told her. They lived in Ottawa at the time, which is eastern coast, just above New York and Pennsylvania, those states, and Ontario. And we would go, every Mother's Day, we would go through the graveyard to visit my mother. And my wife would always stop at this one gravestone and stare at it. And she says, I get this weird feeling from this one. I don't know what it is. I just this sense. Well, after she found out she was adopted, the next time they went back, she took a picture, wrote that name down, and started doing some research. That lady in that gravestone is her mother that passed away. And then she found out later, she hooked up with her sister. She found out she had a sister as well. Well, the sister looks identical to her almost. And she says, yeah, that's – and he said, I have no idea how you could know that that's your mother in that grave when you don't even know that you're adopted. That's crazy. And another true story I got from I kind of put that into – I kind of change things around, use that. Sometimes some of my fans are pre-readers. I'll put their names in there too just because they feel the honor of doing it. But another great true story I have is in Victoria in the Empress Hotel, which is one of the oldest, classiest hotels, 5-star hotel in Victoria. Came out one day to wait for our car because they bring your car around. And the head door guy's there, and I said, so any ghost stories? He said, yeah, I've been here for a few years. Because the Empress Hotel has several ghosts that haunt it that I've read about. He goes, yeah, here's one. He says, so a couple like you about 5 years ago were waiting for the car. And they didn't look happy. I said, you guys okay? He goes, no, we're leaving. We stayed for a week. We booked for a week. We were here one night. We're gone. I'm not staying another night. He goes, what happened? He goes, well, last night we walk into our hotel, locked hotel room. My wife's luggage has been opened up. Her clothes were taken out. And ghost clothes were put in. And like most of you people are saying, what do you mean ghost clothes? He said Victorian clothes, because the Empress Hotel originally was built in Victorian times. And in my head as a writer, I thought, great story. And I wrote that down. So basically in my head, I'm thinking, well, that means we've got a ghost walking around today in modern clothing. And that's where I worked that story into.
That's awesome. Real awesome. Yeah. So your covers are very well done, your covers. And who does them for you?
It's a company called MyBlart. They're out of the Ukraine, and bless them people for having to, you know, hopefully they make it through this war with Russia that Russia's impounding on them. So they do all my book covers. They also do ebook formats and print prints as well. And this company I found, they don't charge, you know, any more than anybody else. However, they will work with you until you're happy. My newest cover, I think I redid it about 10 times before I finally got where I thought I wanted it to go. And they just keep redoing it. Until you're happy, they're not happy. And I admire these people for that. You know, and like I said, I really admire the Ukrainians for fighting back for what they're doing.
Absolutely. Is there a message that you try to get across to your readers?
Yeah, absolutely. One, all my endings I usually have, even though it's about paranormal and ghosts and crime and thrillers, all my endings are always happy endings. The good girl or the good guy must win in the end. Otherwise, we'd have a pretty boring, dreary world. And I always tell people when I do interviews and radio shows, don't give up. My first novel, before it got accepted by anybody, I almost had nearly 400 rejections before I got my first one accepted. So I don't give up, and I still don't give up. I just keep going along. And there's another true story I read about Stephen King. His first novel, Carrie, he had sent out to a number of publishing houses, and he finally gave up in frustration, and he threw it in the garbage can and said, that's it, I'm done. I'm going to become an English teacher. I'm not meant to be a writer. His wife dusted that thing off the garbage can, laid it in front of his desk and said to him, you put that out again, says, you tell me you're a writer, don't give up, you keep going. And because of that, the next publisher he sent it to was the one that accepted it, and now he's, you know, one of the top famous authors in the world.
Yeah, that's a cool story. Yeah. Who is your favorite author, and what is it about their work that really strikes you?
Mine actually is Robert E. Howard. He's the guy that wrote the Conan novels and a bunch of other ones. He was in Texas. What I like about him is within the first page, he can pull you in, the mood, the setting, the style, everything, almost immediately. And that's what I try to do too. I've always told beginning writers that if you can involve your five senses, because if you can make the reader taste, touch, smell, feel, see that scene, you've got them. And that's what he would do. And same thing, he would, even though, I'll be honest, the movies were quite awful with Arnie, but his books are whole different altogether. The guy will just pull you in almost immediately and set this mood and this sense. If you guys can find any of his work still out there, pick it up. It's amazing. And then the other thing I admire about him is, against all odds, this single dude will win, no matter what he's up against. And like I said, in my head as well, that's what I try to do. I try to make sure that the good guy or the good woman must win somehow. Otherwise, it become a really, you know, awful world, dreary, and drag you down, really.
Yeah, it'd be very depressing. There has to be happy ever after story. And I'm going to get mine as well. Yes. So
exactly.
Where can the listening audience find your novels and videos? Is there a website and stuff?
Yes, there is. So most of my novels are print and ebooks are on Amazon. They're also on Smashwords and a thing called Digital to Print. But Smashwords currently, if you look that up, that's where my ebooks are all. They're currently coming up on March 5th. They're having a sale, and I've got them all listed at half price for, I think it's the next week or two. So if you're interested, check those out and book some of them, and at least you get them for half price for now. I also have a website called WordPress. That's my own website. So if you look up Frank Teliber WordPress, punch that in on Google, you'll get me there. And like I said, I also have a YouTube channel. It's called Let's Be Frank, Canada's Foremost Offbeat Author. The video pitch for the lures in there. And then a bunch of other ones I put in. Sometimes I'll just do these weird, quirky, different things. Just because that's kind of my nature. Like I call myself offbeat because usually I write novels that has a twist, and almost everybody that has read my stuff goes, wow, I don't know how you pulled this off. In fact, my last editor from my last book said, I have no idea how you pulled all those plot lines off, but you did it, and you did it brilliantly. I said, I'm impressed. And she's edited a lot of books.
Nice. Do you do physical book signing events?
Yes, I do. I do. I've gone to quite a few. With the last couple of years with COVID around, obviously no. But I will be going on next Saturday, March 5th, I think it is. I will be in a place called Cloverdale, which is halfway to Vancouver. They have it's a flea market, but it's a huge flea market. And I'll go there and I'll spend all day there till about 3 o'clock. And I usually sell quite a few books, and I just love talking to people. Sometimes I'll talk to people that are beginning writers, want interest information, or just talk to people about books and writing. And like I said, sometimes I get these crazy stories that there's no way you can write stories that some of these people have told me. It's just insane, the stuff sometimes you hear.
I understand, yeah. I was at a book signing once, and this guy looked at me and goes, you must be pretty famous, but I've never heard of you. And he bought 3 of my books. That was cool.
I had the same thing the last time I was there. One of my science fiction books, he goes, wow. He says, you must be famous. I says, well, that's what I'm trying to be, yes. But I just love it. And it's nice to get the accolades when people say things like, wow. Actually, there's one lady, in one of my reviews in the Lure, she said, when you started writing about people having, because the Lure is a kind of a loose woman, like a succubus, and she says, I was mortified. So I've been married for like 40 years with this one guy, and I was horrified to hear people having casual sex. She says, I had to stop reading the book because I was getting nightmares. I couldn't fathom how people can do this. But she says, your writing was so fantastic. After a few days, I had to pick it up because I had to finish the book. I had to know what was going on. And in the end, she says, I was actually cheering for your hero, Charlie, to get these people. And he did. And she says, and I was so glad I finished it. I could not stop myself from having to read it again and to finish it. And I says, you know what? That's one of the greatest comments I've ever got. And I've had several people say that. If I can drag you in kicking and screaming, and yet even though if you're horrified or you're happy, hopefully you're happy, not horrified, but you still have to read it because you have to finish it. You have to figure out what happens because I've drawn you in that completely. That's what I love doing.
Absolutely. So here's an interesting question for you. What would you want written on your headstone when you die?
I'd probably say writer by soul. And if I had more than that to write, I would put, this is my tagline that I like to use. I'd say, just write like your soul's on fire and the pencil is your voice screaming.
So what advice would you give a beginning writers and would-be authors?
Again, don't give up. Like I said, I had nearly 400 rejections before I got my first novel published. No matter what, you always got to remember this quote I read from somewhere that says, each rejection is one step closer to acceptance. You just don't know when the acceptance comes, but you just got to keep going because it could be the very next person that reads your stuff. Like in the case of Stephen King, he gave up one step away from becoming a highly successful author. And only because his wife said, no, you put it out there one more time, keep going. And he did, and if he didn't listen to her and he were just throwing a cash can, somebody out in the Eastern United States would know this guy was a English teacher.
Absolutely. Yeah. Never give up. Never quit. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't. And I'm very positive minded. So I always, everything that comes out that's, some sort of negative if you get, some whatever. I try turning into positive. I try to live my life as positively as possible. And which sometimes drives my wife crazy. She goes, "You never give up." I go, "I don't. That's me. I don't."
Yeah,
and she
exactly.
Admires that, so.
When life deals you lemons, make lemonade.
Exactly.
But,
that's it. That's the story. I'll remember that one, Larry.
So you just briefly touch base on all your books, what they're about. Briefly, take us down that list. And then we'll...
Okay, well, most of my books are, crime thrillers, paranormal, ghosts. The series and set in Victoria is all about ghosts of Victoria because, as I found out, Victoria is probably one of the most haunted cities in the world. They have more ghost stories, real ghost stories, than virtually any city in the world. There's probably 30 or 40 ghost stories set all around Victoria. It's a bizarre place. So that's that. I have a science fiction series called Seeds of Ascension. Book one is out. I'm just wrapping up book two right now, and book three is already written. I'm just trying to put that all together. I wrote this one a long time ago. It's all about the theory that we're not alone in the universe, that there's millions of races out there. And basically, we're kind of in isolation until we're ready to be accepted into the rest of the universe. So there's steps that we have to take that, before the rest of the universe says, yeah, these guys are good to go. Come along for the ride. And so I've also done romance, which I'm re-releasing right now, and also this other romance story too. And I've done some comedy stuff as well. I people say, well, most writers are stuck to one genre. I go, I know. I'm not. I love different genres all over the place. But the only thing I haven't written right now is a Western. And Louis Lemire is one of my most admired authors, American. And but who knows? Maybe one day I'll write a Western. I don't know.
Never say never. That's for sure. So, Frank,
never say never.
Yeah. One more time. Where can our listening audience find your novels and your videos, your websites, and all that?
Okay, so on my ebooks are on Amazon under Frank Teliber and print. If they go to Smashwords, all my books are in as ebook and Smashwords because they don't do ebooks. And up to on March 5th, they are having a huge sale, and I've entered it, my stuff in the sale, so they'll be all on for half price. So if you look me up, then you can order it. I think you can pre-order them, so you get them at half price. And then also my YouTube channel is Let's Be Frank, Canada's foremost offbeat author. And I've done there's interviews in there as well. I forgot to mention I do an interview with one of my biggest fans. He's one of our ministers here in BC. He's done several posts in the government, and it's actually a fantastic interview. This guy asked questions that kind of really drew me in, and he's amazing. And I also had one of my friends who does video editing edit that and stick a bunch of other stuff in there. So that's a really cool video to watch. And then you can also go to my own webpage, which is on WordPress. Just look at WordPress and Frank Teliber, and you'll find me there too.
Yeah. So, Frank, if you had it to do all over again, would you have changed anything or continue forward the way you are, or just start all over from scratch and become something different, or what's going on there?
No, I don't think so. I loved doing what I did. I mean, if I really had my way, instead of becoming an automotive technician at first, that made me money so I could work and earn an income. I probably would have done more writing. Maybe I'd, be quite poor for a few years and who knows, but, like I said, on my gravestone, it'll say author by soul, because that's what I love to do. And I love getting up, and it drives my wife crazy in the middle of the night, because I'll get up in the middle of the night, all of a sudden I've got a book beside me, and actually someone bought me the coolest thing. It's a pen that has a built-in flashlight, so I don't have to turn on the nightlight now. And I'll just start writing, and she goes, "Oh, damn it, good. Can't you go back to bed?" "No, I can't. I got to put it down." And that's the other thing I'll tell people that are beginners. Always carry a pen and pad with you. If you get an idea for something, write it down then and there, because at least you get the gist of it, even if you haven't got a chance to write anything out, because chances are when you sit down at the end of the day or the beginning of the day, you'll have forgotten all about it, or what was that idea I had? So always jot down stuff right on the spot when I get it. And that way in the morning or at night. And then that's the other thing for a lot of people that want to be writers. First hour of the day, last hour of the day. That's when your mind is the most conducive to writing, because you're just coming in and out of dream state, like alpha state, like the Aborigines believe in, this other world that they know exists. That's where your mind's just going in and out of it. And that's when you can usually tune in to things and write the best, as a hint.
Yeah, that's very good and valuable information. Because a lot of people, they don't know how to even go about it. And I also say the same thing, but just a different spin on it. It's like you have to set a block of time aside each day to
yes.
do that. You know, like your meditation or
yes.
Going to the coffee shop, you need to set a block of time aside every day to focus on your writing things.
Yes, and that was like that creative writing course I took in high school. That's what that teacher said. We did it, I think, every day for 5 days. So it's like 20 minutes, half an hour every day, write. And ever since then, now, I do same thing. I still set a block of time, usually when I first get up, sometimes when I go to bed. But usually when I first get up, I'll sit down and just start writing, either an idea or story idea, something that I've been dwelling on, a novel. And that is very important. I mean, and don't be, you know, there are going to be times when you don't want to write anything, and I get that. That's fine. You're only human. But you should set aside some time to just write.
Absolutely. So how many books have you got now, Frank?
I've got about 15. There's over 10 published currently. I'm re-releasing 3 other ones right now. And then I've got 4 other ones written and partly written. And then I've got story outlines for other ones too. So as I said, now that I've sort of retired from my business, I'm going to be putting more energy into writing and getting out there. So.
Wow. That's a lot of books, man.
Yeah, a lot of books. And like I said, I've had a lot of short stories too. And the other thing is that I wrote a lot of short stories before I actually put together my first novel. And then what I've now used, a lot of my short story ideas, I've used them to put together into a novel. So that novel I told you about, The Lure, that's actually 2 short stories I wrote earlier. I put them together and wove them into this book. So short stories are important because I treat them like a chapter out of a novel. And sometimes I'll expand them. You know, sometimes you write the story that you think, wow, there's more here. And then as I sit there and think about it, I go, yeah, there is. So let's just do this. And next thing you know, you've got a whole book or a novella going.
Absolutely. And so, Frank, on that note, it's been an awesome experience with you. And so I want to bid you adieu for today.
Thank you. And I love chatting with you too, Larry.
Absolutely. It was a marvelous time. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking to Frank Caliber, talking about all his novels and his life experiences and things, and he's considered to be one of Canada's finest published authors. And after having talked to him, there's no doubt that he is one of Canada's finest authors. So get out there and get your copy of his books. Support this guy because he's hands down awesome. And on that note, I'm going to say thank you, thank you, thank you, and have a good day, and we'll talk again next time.
And thank you for having me on your show.
Absolutely, Frank.
Yep.
Have a good day. We'll talk later. Bye now.
Thank you, man. You too. Take care.
Bye. Yep.